Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we know now it is Jaden Daniels, but there's a lot more to figure out. They've got five picks starting at number 36 tonight. We will have coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. Yours truly and Denton Day will take you through 3 hours, and then Linnell will jump on after that with Denton to take you home for whatever's left of the third round at that point. Although really 7 to 10, we'll get through the second into maybe the early portion of the third. Tonight, I think, is 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes between picks. I think that's right.
I think
first
so.
Round 15.
Minutes. It was 10 minutes yesterday, so it might be 8
Was
minutes.
It 10 minutes yesterday? Yeah. So have they gone to 10 overall? Is it 5 tonight?
I don't think it's 5.
Does
it
Ben
be
know?
Eight.
Ben, how many minutes in between picks tonight?
Oh my God! You know, I don't know. I wasn't even
stumped.
There was 10 last night.
You didn't even know there was 10 last night.
Well, I mean, there's so much happening. I wasn't even paying attention to the last like 15 picks.
True. It, actually, you know what? In this, the clock's actually irrelevant because they're going to announce it when they want to announce it based on the TV coverage. And if you're on, you know, social media, you know before the commissioner steps to the podium what the pick is. All right. Ben Standing's with us from The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. The draft coverage on The Athletic was phenomenal. Ben's coverage, great. At Ben Standing on Twitter. Ben's got a podcast called Standing Room Only. You can get that wherever you get a podcast. So real quickly, before we get to overall reactions to last night and what's next, how did you do as a three-time mock draft champion? How'd you do last night?
I did all right. I didn't embarrass myself. You know, I've seen a Denton before I came on that, you know, the first time I ever won this thing, I wasn't even really a reporter at that point. I was just, you know, quasi in sports and enjoy, you know, like this stuff. I had no sources. The second time I won, I believe I was covering the Wizards. So it wasn't like I was talking to people. Now with more access, I feel like I actually am worse because there's just too many voices in my head. And you know, that was an example. Like I had like Byron Murphy to Seattle at 16, but then all the noise about he could move up into like 8-9 range. I'm like, you know, it's too many people saying this. I'm like, all right. So I switched it there. And then he goes to Seattle and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, overall it was okay. And, you know, needless to say, you know, who had six quarterbacks going like the way that it did or really, it wasn't really until like the last, like, 24 hours that the thought that Minnesota wouldn't trade up at all. I mean, you know, not just the one, you know, move up to 4 or 5 was really more in play. So it was okay. I mean, no complaints. It won't hurt my overall batting average other than you know, not winning, but it was, I did all right.
All right. So when they were on the clock after Caleb Williams was picked, I mean, you were anxious yesterday. There's been a lot of angst in your voice here over the last couple of weeks as a reporter without nearly as much being sort of disseminated from the franchise like in years past. I got you to 90% yesterday on the air. How'd you feel? What was your overall take on Daniels and then a lot of what Peter said afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, again, if we hadn't lived through the coaching search, I probably would have felt okay. I'm not to be repeated here, but I, you know, mentioned to you yesterday after I was on, I had some intel that seemed to me to suggest that there was going to be Daniels, and then earlier in the week, somebody who's, you know, a step removed from somebody over there kind of said, hey, you know, it's going to be this. So I felt, you know, by that point, I felt okay. It, again, not to keep harping on this, but, like, I've been on Daniels over May long ago. The first time I did a Commanders only mock draft. So I was there. It was just hard, you know, you don't want to be wrong when you're making these kinds of predictions. So, yeah, by that point, it seemed pretty apparent. And, you know, look, I mean, how it all works out, you know, none of us know. And that's what's the fun and the scary part if you're these teams going forward. But it just ultimately really did feel like Daniels was the best combination of all of the three. I could make compelling arguments for any of them. But, like, you know, like J.J. McCarthy, who, it's, you know, I know Schefter reported was the other guy they were looking at, which is, of course, what you and I have discussed as well, that – you know, they felt like McCarthy might be the second guy if they bailed on Daniels, or, you know, something blew up there. So that's notable. But, like, I don't know, McCarthy just didn't seem like a fit for Cliff Kingsbury's offense. And then with Drake May, you know, again, people can say the Washington took the wrong guy. Time will tell. But I can just tell you, based on the umpteen people I spoke to about the draft in the league, et cetera, not that there weren't people that thought Drake May was good, but even those people tended to be, boy, he's got this, he's got that, but yeah, he's going to have to sit a while. So if you're going to say that, then it's just like, well, all right. I mean, he may be good and the best eventually, but you're taking a bigger risk because you're saying it's not there. Daniels is a bit older. He's way more experienced. He's coming off the year last year that he had. And, you know, when we hear Adam Peters talk about it last night, you know, Peters, who's not been very expansive with his comments to us so far in general, since he's become the GM, you know, he was like really, he doesn't say it's a big high for him, but he was really excited and talking about all the ways that Daniels stood out to him as a player, as a person, and this, that, and the other. So, in the end, I don't want to say they got the right guy because, again, who knows, but it does feel like all things being equal, they got the guy that makes the most sense for where they are right now. And then that includes the ownership wanting to start to recoup that $6 billion. And this guy should be a guy who fans gravitate towards immediately when you start seeing the highlight tapes and, you know, the potential of what he could be.
How hard did they try to get back into the first round? And if so, for whom?
Well, I do know that they tried. I tweeted this last night, but I was told by a source from another team that they were trying, and even trying to get up, or at least making calls into teams picking in the teens. So if you're picking in the teens to jump from 36 or 40 to, you know, whatever, to up to, you know, above 20, that's a pretty big jump. That seems like pretty aggressive move. So, you know, maybe it's both second round picks that you'd be giving up. So it seems like that would be pretty, it should, if that's what they were willing to do, that's a pretty bold move. And it would have been, from what I gather, for an offensive tackle. I don't know which one specifically. Amarius Mims, the kid from Georgia, was the one that I had been eyeing the most, just because it felt like he and Tyler Guyton would be the last two that would be on the board. And that Mims, despite 8 career starts at Georgia, which is nuts that a guy with 8 starts is getting picked in the top, gets picked at 18. But those two made sense, where Guyton felt like a little riskier. He obviously goes to Dallas. I would imagine, I mean, if it was Guyton, I imagine they could have made the move if they wanted to. So I assume it wasn't him, that it was more Mims.
Right.
Maybe somebody, one of the other guys. But I would suspect Mims is probably the target.
And you say that because Guyton didn't go until 29, so there would have been opportunities in the early to mid-20s rather than the teens to continue to try to get in there. And so that's why you've deducted that it was probably not Guyton. Do you think there's
right, and also
any...
Mims for me, like in terms of like the mock draft and stuff, like Mims to the Bengals at 18 always felt like a pretty good spot, or at least the Steelers at 20. So you had to get above them. And the fact, like I said, I was told that they were checking with in the teens seems to suggest they knew they had to get ahead of certain other teams to get somebody.
And you feel confident that if they had done that, it would have been for a tackle?
It's the only thing I've heard. You know, I mean, look, this team, you could argue they could take any position. And from that perspective, it would be hard for me to argue that that was a mistake. But, yeah, tackle, from what I could tell throughout this process, but also, you know, again, talking to people over the last couple of days and yesterday, that would be the spot, yes.
All right, we're talking to Ben Standig, and now we focus in on 5 picks tonight as of now. So where do they go starting at 36 and 40?
Yeah, so, you know, now that we're here, they've got the 4th pick in the second round, so it's no longer some hypothetical. Now there's actual names on the board. There were 3 players. I had 29 of the 32 players picked in the first round, correct. So the 3 that fell out were 2 defensive backs, Cooper DeJean from Iowa and Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, along with defensive tackle Johnny Newton from Illinois. I'll put aside Newton because, you know, it would be it wouldn't be crazy, but it would be a little bit odd if they took defensive tackle. But the other 2, look, we know they still need defensive backs. DeJean, whether you view him as a corner or a safety, he can play both. He's a phenomenal kick returner, like a big-time special teams weapon. He's a movable chess piece that would seem to be a really good fit for what Dan Quinn wants to do. And in one of my, when I did that story on showing like 6 different Commanders scenarios over 7 rounds, in one of them, I had them trading up to about 21 to get DeJean. That was just based on my read, yep, not based on actionable intelligence, but that to me would be interesting. But I kind of imagine both of those guys might be gone in the first 3 picks because they are thought of highly at a premium position. So, you know, they still have to get an offensive tackle. All the ones that we would have, that I imagine they might hope would have fallen, didn't. The 2 guys that I'm sort of keeping an eye on would be Roger Rosengarten, the starting right tackle for Washington. He was a right tackle because Michael Penix was a southpaw. So that was the blind side. He had previously played 2 years at left tackle. Mel Kiper has said that, he thinks if Rosengarten stays in school 1 more year, that he's probably a first-round pick next year. And, you know, I feel like he might be more of a – not like he would be the most amazing player, but, like, he might be able to come in and play where, say, like a guy like a Tyler Guyton would have been, you know, a little more of a stretch to say he's coming in right away. So I think that's a guy. Also, Patrick Paul, the huge tackle out of Houston, whose brother Chris is on Washington's roster right now. He was somebody that, like, when the whole pre-draft process started, was getting talk about even maybe being in the first. Then he slipped back. But I've had a couple scouts this week tell me, you know, he could easily be, like, the first tackle gone in the second round. And so, you know, I think those are the 2 I'm looking at. And then from there, you know, you can tell me edge rusher, a guy like Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan. You can tell me cornerback. At some point, you'd like to think they get a pass catcher, but probably that's maybe more of a round 3 or later. So, so those are, I think, some of the names. And then it's just, you're obviously a big college football guy. Like, they need size at receiver. Is Keon Coleman of interest to them? I would like to think he would be, but he's had a weird evaluation cycle. But, I mean, that guy's still there, and they need size at receiver. Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M. Again, not what you would think they would need the most, but, you know, the way Dan Quinn likes to play with that attacking defense, I think he could be a really interesting fit. So they have a lot of options, but yeah, OT would be my number 1 assumption with at least one of those second round picks.
Yeah, and Cooper DeJean, who we were talking about before you jumped on, he would be my favorite player right now, still on the board. Buffalo has a need for corner. The Patriots, remember, drafted Christian Gonzalez last year, and the Cardinals, these are the three teams picking in front of Washington, added a corner in free agency. So we'll see, but I would bet he's off the board early. I think there's also, you know, always the chance that teams move up because of what we saw yesterday, in particular, quarterback. They move up to take a guy like Spencer Rattler, you know, or, you know, Michael Pratt. Like, I think you're going to see some quarterbacks come off in the second round, I think, as well tonight. Ben Standig is joining us. So, do you have an opinion on the San Francisco Ayuk Samuel maybe trading one of those two position as it relates to Washington or not?
Well, so again, when I did my various scenarios, you know, in one of them I said, well, the one I let myself have some real fun with is I had them trading at least pick 36, and I forget what else I included, but like a deal with San Fran for Ayuk. I mean, there's been zero evidence this whole cycle, including free agency, that says Adam Peters thinks they've got to make a big splashy move. But the circumstances here are just so intriguing that literally the quarterback he ends up drafting in the first round was college teammates with Ayuk. They were doing an IG live last night, apparently, after Daniels got picked. And they also apparently talk like multiple times a week, you know, like they're like legit friends. And then the guy who drafted Ayuk is Adam Peters. It's, you know, the Niners. So the combination is, you know, makes it much more interesting than just simply saying, hey, some receiver is thinking about, you know, make it traded. What do you think? So I got to keep my antenna up for that. But, you know, I don't have any other, you know, like I said, you know, insight into what they would do. But to me, that is a really interesting dynamic for sure. And I was going to say this before, but like in terms of the 36 and 40, you know, in my final Commanders mock draft where everybody was saying that they should trade up for a tackle, I decided ultimately, as we discussed, for them to trade back because it felt like the tackles probably weren't going to be ready to play. And, you know, I think next year is when Peters is going to get aggressive with building this roster, and having more capital there could go a long way towards helping. So, you know, trading down from 36, and none of the top six quarterbacks are around, so that takes a more obvious piece off the board for somebody to want to trade up to. But, you know, they're still, you know, even if it's like, say, Cooper DeJean, there could be a team that says, hey, you know, we really want this guy, we'll give you, you know, X. So, you know, I mean, trading down should be considered, if not even executed, depending on what the offer is. So, yeah, that would be – so whether it's Ayuk or that trade down, I mean, I think it would be really interesting to me to say that they have some fun today doing something that's more than just taking the next player. And I'd be here for it, especially the trade down part.
Yeah. All right. So give me just a couple of big thoughts other that weren't Washington related from the draft. Obviously, everybody's talking about what happened in Atlanta. What were some of the big takeaways from you after last night? I know you were focused mostly on this, but you now know what happened in the first round as a whole.
Right. Well, you know, ultimately last night was a reminder that if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you don't really have much of a chance, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it spoke loudly last night.
Yeah. I mean, you said you guys have already been talking about Atlanta, I'm sure. I mean, that was absolutely mind-blowing that they did that for 100 reasons. That one was very odd. But then the combination that zero defensive players were picked until the 15th pick, that was also fairly nuts. But, you know, I think I don't remember if I said this to you or elsewhere, but like when I was doing the mock drafts, usually most years I've got like, you know, 40 guys or so that I'm trying to shove into 32 spots. And it's like, ugh. Here is more the opposite. It felt like, man, I kind of can get to a certain number. And then at the end, I'm like, I guess I got to put this guy in here. Like, I wasn't like, it didn't feel that there were as many players to go in the first round as I would normally. And then I think I saw, like, you know, Jerry Jones said Dallas had, like, I think maybe like 15 players total with first round grades. Typically teams often will have fewer than 32 first round grades, but
right.
15 teams felt
I think the average is like somewhere around 20 to somewhere between 20 and 23 or something like that. I think what's his face, you know, the former Packers executive that we have on.
Andrew Brandt,
thank you. I think he has said that that's kind of the average for teams that typically nobody has 32 first round grades in a draft.
Right. But yeah, so it just seems lower than normal. And, you know, I think it was reflected that way. You know, quarterbacks get bumped up because it's the importance of the position. This was a really strong year for tackles. Every single one that people thought could go in the first round did. Right. But then after that, it just, you know, really kind of limped along to a certain extent. Everybody will, of course, say they love their guy. And you know, doesn't mean they won't be really good players. It's just from an overall class perspective, it felt it was a bit patchy with where the strengths were. So that was interesting. I never really bought the idea that the Giants were going to take quarterback. Who knows if they maybe they would have if Drake May was there. But again, it didn't really seem like Drake May would be there at six unless they traded up, which again would seem odd to trade up for a guy and then not play him year one. So I think those are some of the things that stood out to me. It's amazing that the Raiders are picking 13. Everybody's pegging them to take a quarterback. And not only did they not get one, they were all gone. That's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
I will say, like, you know, obviously McCarthy and Bo Nix were the last two taken. And they may be the two that got into the best spot for who they are because of the fact that Minnesota's already, you know, got a pretty loaded offense and Kevin O'Connell is proving himself as a good offensive coach. And you know, Sean Payton, you know, may think a lot of himself a bit too much, but there's reason for him to be confident. And, you know, that guy does pretty good work with quarterbacks. And, you know, I think Bo Nix could be, not stylistically, but he could be Brock Purdy-ish in terms of having a guy like Peyton in his head, tutoring him, gets the most out of him for what they need. Doesn't mean he'll ever be, you know, a star, but like, that's not, you know, if you have a good team, you don't need a star. Like, you know, sort of like with Cousins, right? He's good, but he's good enough. He's not elite to carry the team. So I thought at least we can say that like a guy like Bo Nix was taken too early, but at least he was taken into a pretty good spot.
Yeah. You know, I think you can make the case that Caleb Williams was picked into a very good spot for him.
Yeah.
And probably Drake May into the worst spot, although he gets to sit behind a guy like Jacoby Brissett, who everybody has said over and over again is as good as you get in a quarterback room and in a locker room and to learn from, which – not only that, Alex Van Pelt, their offensive coordinator there, coached Brissett in Cleveland. So, he'll have Antonio Gibson in the backfield if he gets into the game. All right, thanks. Did I miss anything big that you wanted to share with all of us?
No. I mean, again, I just think it was interesting listening to Peters talk about the whole process for him, that he really had no feel for Daniels prior to getting this job because, you know, it's not like San Fran was in the quarterback market. And then once he, you know, turned on the tapes, that he just basically fell in love. And that even though, you know, he's effectively been fibbing to us all about, you know, how deliberative they were in this process, which, again, we all kind of get it. And I appreciate the fact that he's saying we're going to take this to the very end because who knows what's going to be out there for us in terms of trades or something. That, you know, they were pretty hardcore into them. And you know, I also like I said, the fact that McCarthy was apparently their other guy, which made
sense.
Well,
did he say that, or was that just the Schefter report?
That was just the Schefter report, yeah. But at the same time, you know, I've been talking about it, and,
right.
You had time on your podcast say something as well. So just in terms of that, this may be more just for my purposes, that like, okay,
yeah.
that thought made sense. For sure. Oh, and also I will even say, like, what solidified me is Michael Penix being somewhere in the top of the first round, was the fact that Washington brought him in with the Top Golf thing. They're not going to waste their time in that scenario on a guy who might be even like big two. So the fact that they did that said to me, okay, even they think Penix is pretty good. And I think that was a vibe that was born out here.
Great job. Hope to get you on the show tonight if you've got time tonight. Denton and I will be hosting the coverage tonight, so I'll holler at you later.
Look forward to it, and we'll see what happens.
All right, Ben Standig, everybody. Up next, we have the team video and audio. You won't see the video. Of the call to Brandon, the call to Jaden Daniels, excuse me, last night from Adam Peters with Dan Quinn and Josh Harris weighing in. You'll hear how the whole conversation with the man that they would eventually pick just a couple of minutes later went. That's next. Also, jump on the phone lines if you want. We'll finish up with calls 301-230-0980.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, you're going to hear coming up here shortly, Jaden Daniels receiving the call from Adam Peters with Dan Quinn jumping on and with Josh Harris jumping on and how that conversation went when they called him to let him know that he was going to be the pick. I wanted to mention two things before we get to that. One is, so the thing that Ben mentioned that, you know, Adam Peters had said last night that he didn't really know because there was no reason to watch the tape on quarterbacks when he was with the 49ers during the season. So the first time he turned Jaden on was when he got here. It was actually a question that Tom Lavero asked last week at the Adam Peters, Lance Newmark press conference. And Adam Peters said, that's a really good question. The truth is, because Tom said, I want to know what you thought of him when you were watching him during the regular season and then what you thought of him once you got here. And he said, I didn't see him. There was no reason for us. We had a quarterback, not to mention they weren't going to be picking with the 49ers in a spot that was high enough. I'm calling a little bit of BS on that from this standpoint, Denton. Adam Peters, from the beginning of the season, and certainly as the season went on, was earmarked as one of the top, if not the top, general manager candidates once we got to the 2024 offseason. There was a really good chance that Adam Peters was not going to be with the 49ers, and he was going to be with a new franchise, and perhaps with a new franchise that needed a quarterback. I would think that anybody in scouting, anybody in a general manager, assistant GM position is going to be watching the Heisman Trophy candidate play football, just like they're watching, you know, quarterbacks in general and big-time players. I just have a hard time believing that he didn't see or really pay any attention to quarterbacks because of the team that he was with. Look, it's also possible that, remember the story that was out there about how Ayuk reached out to Adam Peters at some point before the 2023 draft to find out for his good friend, Jaden Daniels, where he would get drafted. And at that point, the story goes, the reports are that Peters suggested he was a day three pick. Well, everybody had him as a day two or day three pick a year ago. Doesn't mean that he felt that way once he started to watch his season this year. But anyway, look, you could sense in the way he talked about this pick that it wasn't just the conventional, this was our guy right from the beginning. We heard more and some of the longest answers we've ever seen from Adam Peters, heard from Adam Peters in that press conference last night. This was their guy. This was their guy once they realized that they were going to have the number two pick, and once they realized that perhaps, you know, a guy like Caleb Williams wasn't going to be there. I think there was massive separation between Jaden Daniels and maybe McCarthy, who we, you know, learned from Adam Schefter was the other guy that they liked. For you Drake Mayers, it doesn't seem like this front office agreed that he was in the running for number two, if you believe the reporting. Doesn't mean that they're going to be right. And then the other thing, what was the other thing I was going to mention? Oh, the other thing I was going to mention is this, and it's so funny because I'm just, I was looking at a text. Denton and I were talking during the break, and I said to him, what if, like in 2012, Washington took another quarterback in this draft? What if they took a Michael Pratt from Tulane? No, they probably would have to take him tonight. Maybe tonight. But what if they took Denton? What if, like, on Saturday they ended up taking, you know, a Devin Leary or what's the kid from
Michael Pratt, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, but what's the kid from Joe Milton. What if they took a quarterback in the fourth round like they did in 2012? I don't expect it this time with this group, but, you know, you just can't have enough of them if you really like them. It was different in 2012, though. It was different in that, and I've said this a million times, and it's true because Mike's not only told me off the air, but he's told me on the air. He was not against drafting RG3. RG3's tried to paint that picture in recent years. There was eventually a divide between owner and head coach, but at the beginning, Mike and Kyle said, we're in on this, but you guys just need to know a couple of things. We can't play football the traditional way with this guy early on. He's not ready for it. This is different. I think this is different. I don't think they'll end up taking another quarterback. You never know, though. You never know. All right, this was the call just prior to selecting Jaden Daniels last night. This was Adam Peters talking to Jaden Daniels. Then you'll hear Dan Quinn and Josh Harris as well.
It's Jaden, Adam Peters from the Commanders. How you doing, man? I've just been so impressed with what you've done to get yourself to where you're at right now, man. And there's so many more great things to come. But you put in all the work in the early mornings, the late nights. I just couldn't be more impressed, and I couldn't be more proud to pick you to represent our franchise. So congratulations, man.
Congrats, man. How awesome is this? I've known for a long time about the ball player, but over the last 2 months, I learned about the dude, the dedication. I think the Florida game spoke to your resilience, and that's why you're coming here, man. You're a dog competitor. We're going to kick a lot of ass together.
Congrats, man. Welcome to you and your family, to the DMV. I know we're going to make it happen together. I'm so appreciative that we're going to be doing this. And what a night, and you've earned it, and just celebrate. Can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Turn it in. Let's go.
With the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.
So did we not hear in that video Jaden Daniels' responses?
No, there was nothing. Maybe he might have just not really spoken much, but no, there was nothing from Jaden Daniels.
Okay. It's funny that Quinn mentioned the Florida game. I think the game, when you went back and watched this past season, the Alabama game was one. You and I talked about how, I mean, it was a dominant performance by him before he got hurt, and game was tied at 21-21. It was played, you know, at Alabama, big game during the course of last season. But I thought it was that Missouri game. The Missouri game is the game in which he got hurt. He got knocked out briefly. They were behind in that game against one of the better defensive teams in the SEC, team that was clearly a surprise this year in the SEC. I think they were down, Denton, if you go back and look at it, I think they were down like 14, maybe 17 in that game. And he just willed them to come back. And he was not totally healthy. They banged him around in that game. I thought that was one of those games where it was like, wow. The Alabama game was a big one. The Florida game was truly spectacular. I mean, he set the NCAA record for the most combined yards by a quarterback, first ever to have 350-plus passing and 200-plus rushing in the game. He combined for 606 yards and 5 touchdowns. But if you knew anything about Florida, they were a terrible defensive team all year long as well. By the way, just to prove how bad LSU's defense was, Graham Mertz threw for 300-plus against LSU's defense. I don't know that he did that against anybody else. Maybe he did. I don't know. But I thought the Missouri and the Alabama games for me this past year, Denton, were the games where if you're now knowing that he's going to be the pick and now you're going to spend more time even looking at his games, those are the games. Because and the A&M game at the end of the year, because A&M was a good defensive team too, and he carved them up. But at Missouri, at Bama, two very good teams, two of the better defenses in the SEC, and he was incredible in both of those games.
He's great.
You know,
I the Florida game was awesome. The Texas A&M game was awesome. I mean, the Georgia State one was kind of whatever because it was inferior opponents, but yeah. Watching those back recently, it was more and more impressive. I can't wait. I can't wait till he's wearing our colors.
But do you remember the Georgia State game? Even Georgia State moved the ball up and down the field in the first half because it was like 14-14 or 21-21, and then they pulled away because he took the game over. But you're talking about a sub, you know, tier college team that I think put up like 280 yards of offense in the first half against them. And they were hoping, if you recall in that game, they were hoping to get him some rest, but he was also going for the Heisman. I think that was the night. Was that the night he threw 7 touchdown passes? Or I'm trying to pull up the box score real quickly.
Georgia State, I believe, was 6 touchdown passes.
6 touchdown passes. 25 of 30, 413, 6 touchdowns. He rushed for 96 and 2 touchdowns. He had 8 total touchdowns that night. Get ready. It's going to be a show. It will be a show. All right, your calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our phone lines are open. Your reaction to last night, Jaden Daniels, anything you want to see happen tonight in rounds 2 and 3, it's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Not all draft around here in our city. Mostly draft, but not all. Caps in action tonight, game 3 at Cap 1 against the Rangers. They're looking to avoid going down 0-3. That puck drops at 7. You can hear that on 106.7 The Fan. Nationals lose to the Dodgers yesterday. They get swept. They're on the road today against the Marlins. That's going to be obviously in Florida. Magic beat the Cavs yesterday 121-83. Embiid goes for 50 for the 76ers as they beat the Knicks 125-114. Nuggets take a 3-0 lead over the Lakers 112-105. Of course, last night in the NFL draft, the Commanders select Jaden Daniels, number 2 overall. Second round begins tonight at 7. All your draft coverage can be heard right here on the Team 980. In fact, myself and Kevin will get the coverage kicked off at 7 p.m. And then Linnell Willingham will be on with me at 10 to midnight. And that's what's trending.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How did he attack that speed mentally in terms of processing what he saw?
Really well, really well. That was something you look at and you can see how does he get through his reads and does he know where to go with the ball? Does he see the blitz? Does he know where his hots are? And that was, you know, I think, you know, I keep talking about being able to play the position first, and he can do it and he does it really, really well. And that's, you know, that's a big part of it.
Adam Peters last night on how quickly Daniels kind of mentally is able to process. Couple of other sound bites that I wanted to play. We'll get to your calls in a moment. This was, by the way, how much input Cliff Kingsbury had in the process. Denton, number 10 on Cliff.
How much input did Cliff have in the process, and how fired up is Cliff?
Cliff had a lot of input in the process, and he, you know, when we went out and did all the pro days, he was with us the whole time, and so we had a lot of time together to talk, just talk philosophy, talk quarterback play, just talk about the players, and so he was a very, very, very big fan of Jaden, like all of us, and he is extremely fired up.
That was on Kingsbury. And then one last one, because this was obviously a big topic over the last week. He was asked about, you know, having a discussion about Daniels not wanting to come to Washington, as, you know, his sort of agent liked those tweets last week criticizing Washington's process. Here's what Adam Peters said.
Adam, you kind of mentioned that during the process where there's not real information, stories, reports, whatever kind of bubble up, there was a repeated one that maybe Jaden didn't want to come to Washington. Did that ever get to your radar? Was that ever a discussion point for you guys?
Not for us, not internally. He never expressed that to us, and really expressed, you know, that he was really happy to be wherever he went. You know, and that's the attitude that I think anybody has to take. And when you're in that position, and he never expressed that to us, and you know, we're thrilled to have him here. And I know he's thrilled to be coming here, and we've had a lot of conversations, and we're really excited to work together.
There you go. Let's get to the phone lines, finish up the show. Kev wanted to weigh in last time. We didn't get to Kevin. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. First of all, congratulations not only on being early on Jaden, you and Denton both, but it seems like the way the draft unfolded, it pretty much lined up with how you rated the different quarterbacks. So good on that.
Well, it means nothing, right? It means nothing because sure. In years you get them wrong. I love Daniels, you know that, and I really liked Penix Jr. And I thought that there was a chance that there was, you know, he would be in the top half of the first round. But they got to play. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, honestly, so many have been in my ears that I respect, you included. Everybody was selling me on Daniels, and after just hearing how over the moon Adam Peters obviously was, I mean, I'm very excited about the pick. Really, the only thing I've had in the back of my mind about the pick that worries me is the Robert Griffin III injury PTSD. Honest to God, that's it. And you can't think like that. When you're at a shot like that where you're 2 overall and there's a player of that caliber, you just got to swing and go for the home run. And so I totally get it. What's nice is owner, GM, assistant GM, head coach, OC, everybody loves this kid. Okay. There's not going to be any division, obviously, within the organization. So that's wonderful. I will say I was comforted by the Schefter report and Sandig and others suggesting that, you know, if it wasn't Daniels, it would be McCarthy. But like you said, I'm sure there was quite a gap between Daniels versus McCarthy, but it'll be interesting. I just have this terrible feeling Daniels and McCarthy are going to be showing off in an NFC playoff in about 2 to 3 years, and hopefully we get the win.
Yeah, can I please get to that moment? Look, for McCarthy, remember who the comp's been all along. Like, it's been a more athletic version of Kirk Cousins. Well, Kevin O'Connell is the perfect match. You know, with Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson and what they have there. So that, you know, if he ends up being what some people think he can become, that seems to be the perfect setup for him. Thanks, Kevin. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, what's up?
L to the W, big guy. What's going on, man?
Yeah, you're happy. I'm happy.
We got our guy, baby. Yeah, we got our guy, man. Hey, look, but if you look at I want to get into the second round real quick, but let me talk to this real quick. If you look at all the quarterbacks, I think went into spots that's conducive for them to be successful. You look at our pick. You look at Drake May going to the Patriots. You know, you got Brissett there to start, right. You know, until he's ready. Penix going to Atlanta, man. I know you don't like it, but it was a good pick for them. We always said
– I love Penix, though. You know I love Penix, but it's silly to use number 8 overall when you're trying to win right now and you're not going to play the dude for 2 years.
It's not silly when we talk the whole draft, the whole offseason about if you love a quarterback, take him. And they love Penix.
I understand. It's just that one is a bit odd.
Yeah, but the draft is not just about the first round. You know what I mean? They got plenty of draft to get the things they need to get. And it's not like they depleted on talent.
They could have added a Dunze. They could have added a Dunze to Pitts and Big Boy from SC.
They had Drake London. They got Drake London. They got another receiver. They got Pitts. They got the guy from the Bears. I mean, listen, man. They seen the quarterback. They loved him, and they selected him. We've been saying that all offseason. If you see the quarterback and you love him, take him. And that's up to me.
Those that complain about his age, Paulie, those that complain about his age, he's not going to actually play until he's 26, 27 years old.
Listen, who are those? Evidently, those wasn't in Atlanta that was complaining about him.
I know. I don't care about the age thing. I love the player. So I think he's a perfect guy to learn from Kirk.
Exactly. They're almost the same kind of player. They pocket passes. You know, yeah. So that would be good for him to learn from Kirk. You look at J.J. McCarthy, like you said, going to Minnesota. Look what KOC did for Dwayne Haskins. Everybody wanted to talk about how bad Haskins was. Well, he played his best in the last stretch of that season under Kevin O'Connell and Bill Callahan. You know what I mean? Then you even go to Bo Nix. I mean, come on, Sean Payton. You know, if you got any type of talent in you as a quarterback, Payton can get it out of you.
Sure.
You know what I mean, Paul?
All right, what else you got? Because I want to get to some other calls. What else?
Hey, look, second round, we need to trade them 36 and 40, move up with Buffalo with that first pick, get a lineman. Buffalo is dropping back for draft picks anyway. They did it the whole first round. So I would say 36, 40, get up to that first spot because 7 tackles went in the first round. So then I'll get that dude out of BYU. You know what I mean? And you're still sitting with 3 picks in the third round. So that would be my strategy for this second round, man. Hail to the W.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks. Let's finish up with Russell, who's calling from Delaware. Russell, go ahead.
Kevin, hello.
Russell, what's happening?
Hey, Kev. Hey, man. Hey, Kev. I thought you put it very aptly. The other day you said that this was the perfect storm. And it really is because, you know, we scraped the barnacle off our hull, known as Snyder, who descended from stupidity into scandal. We got a new ownership group that's, you know, on the ball. And first thing they started to address was, you know, deal with a decaying stadium. And, you know, now we've got our man. You know, I was Jaden Daniels all the way, especially after, you know, you guys had kind of turned me into, you know, looking at what his highlight stuff was. And, you know, he's just, you know, he is going to be an extremely exciting player.
I think so. I mean, it's just such – I'm so fired up, Russell, and I got to run because we're up against a hard out. But I'm so far fired up about it. I've loved this player. We've been talking about him for a long time. But I would have been okay had they decided it was, you know, Drake May or Penix Jr. The McCarthy thing again. We'll see. I actually think McCarthy's in a great spot. All right, we are done. I'm back at 7 tonight with Denton to host second, third round coverage right here on the Team 980. Russell's up next. John Beck will be on the show with Russell at 2:30. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.